Hello, my name's Lizzie Hodgson.
And my name's Brannon Ralph.
And this is the ZX Spectrum. The ZX Spectrum, we look at the kind of like the differences between our generations with Brandon and myself around technology, media, digital, marketing. We have had a little bit of a break.
A little bit of a hiatus.
But that's because we've been reassessing what we want the ZX Spectrum to be. And we are going to be bringing in some guests into ZX Spectrum. Today we have Sharon Davies, the Deputy CEO of Young Enterprise, and Alison Collington, the Project Manager for Young Enterprise. They will introduce themselves in a moment. But Brandon, what are we going to be focusing on today?
So today's episode, linking in with the company that they both work for, Young Enterprise, we're going to be looking at enterprise, young people, and also how technology intercepts into that.
So do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Sharon Davies, I'm the Deputy Chief Exec of Young Enterprise.
I'm Alison Collington. I project manage two challenges for Young Enterprise. One is called the Tenor Challenge, the second is Fiverr Challenge, and they work with children currently in school, aged between 5 and 19 years old.
Do you want to give a little bit of background as to how you got here and what you do?
It all started, I left home about 16 and ended up about 20 working in a supermarket called QuickSave, which you might not remember.
I think I remember. Red branding.
It's a very northern brand. And in the concession, in LiquorSave, there was this lady who was a part-time youth worker who saw how I used to chat along to these groups of young lads who used to come in and skid their bikes across the hallway and noticed that and said, I think you should have a chat with my boss. It was a full-time youth worker. And he came in and said, I really like how you engage with those young men. And do you know that that's actually a really useful skill? And why don't you come along and do some volunteer work? I tried youth work in a club and that just didn't work for me. And then he said, well, just give it one more go. He came back again and said, just give it one more go. And this time try it with detached youth work, which was street-based youth work, working with young people on their territory.
What does that mean?
Detached? So it basically means working with young people who are choosing not to go to a youth club. They might be hanging around in the streets.
Okay.
And so it was basically working with those young people. You might be putting activities on for them, perhaps five-a-side football, just chatting to them about possible trips, but as well as that, having those conversations about, you know, formal education. I loved it, absolutely loved it. And from there on, went to get on a part-time youth work job. From there, I went on to university and never looked back since. So 25 years on, I've worked with young people. But the three things that have had a profound effect on me really was, you can't be what you can't see. As in, I never knew that you could have professional youth workers, that you basically could have a career supporting young people. Secondly, the majority of skills are transferable. No one ever tells you that. You think you come into the world of work with no skills at all, but actually the majority of them are transferable. And thirdly, you never quite know the impact of the intervention you might have. So that youth worker, luckily enough, I went back and told him the impact he had. But when we're supporting, investing in young people, then actually you don't quite know that impact that you could have as a mentor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So my route was very different. I started off working in travel, working in a travel-based company, and eventually they got taken over by American Express. And I had to reapply for my job. And when I reapplied to my job, which, you know, obviously troubled me greatly at the time, I actually got promoted. You know, and it was quite funny because obviously at the time, all my direct managers were giving me a lot of mentoring, a lot of counselling, and I actually got the job and very few of them, not many of them did. So that was quite interesting. So that kind of gave me a step up and a lot more confidence about myself. Yeah. And I came and worked in London. I worked in the city. And I looked after clients that were obviously Goldman Sachs and HSBC at the time. And it was in that roaring 80s, 90s where it was, you know, the heavy. So I got to see a side of business that I'd never seen before. And then I decided, you know, obviously after a couple of years, that I'd take a little step back, and I worked in the southwest of England and still working for American Express. And then I decided that I wanted to take some time out, and I had some two children. And really, my journey into the educational side and obviously what we do was that I was astonished at school. So my children went to our local village school, and I kind of always perceived that things were open to everyone. And I did some fundraising in the school, and I got to know some of the children in my children's classes, and I was astonished at some of their backgrounds and where they were coming from, and things I just took for granted with my children, I could see weren't happening with other children.
Like
just things like, you know, on a day-to-day basis, the sort of food they sometimes brought in, and just the things they talked about. And some of the children were really tired because they hadn't gone to bed, and you know, and they were young children, and I did some reading with the children, and you just get to know a little bit. I wasn't asking them obviously personal questions, but you just get to feel what their world was, and it kind of just took me a step back. I don't come from a privileged background, but I come from a background where I've always been supported. So that was in my head something that I thought, okay. So when I decided that I wanted to come back, I didn't want to go down the hard-nosed business route anymore. Didn't mean anything to me. I kind of felt like I'd moved on from that, and I really wanted to make a difference to some of the children that I've met. I thought, you know what, we need to work that, you know, they could be, because in class, you know, when they were participating, you would never not understand some of their background. So I thought, okay, let's see what I can do. And I read about Young Enterprise, and I thought, well, that's quite a good fusion of having a business that I've been in, and I'd seen that side of it, and actually wanting to make a difference in education. So the two fused. So that's why I joined Young Enterprise.
So what's the focus of Young Enterprise?
So the focus really is supporting young people to have the equal access to a rewarding start in work and life by providing access to those skills and skill development opportunities. It's working in partnership between schools and industry volunteers who support young people to develop and then apply those skills. So when they're sat in front of you as a potential employer, they can talk eloquently about the skills that they've developed and applied in setting up and running their student enterprise.
I mean, personally, I've done Young Enterprise myself for quite a while. I think I first came across Young Enterprise back when I was, because I did the company program in school. I think I didn't get introduced early enough for Fiverr or Tenor, which I know you run, Alison. I think it's a fantastic charity in what they do.
Can I ask you, what was the one thing that you took away from you from Young Enterprise in terms of its impact?
I think more than anything, it taught me lots of the soft skills, but then I think it most importantly taught me how important sort of other people and the team element came into it, because we had a very big team that wasn't a very big team that didn't everybody didn't do pulled their weight, but we had a very much of a core team of five of us, and it was very important for us to pull together as a team and work together on that, because I had a sort of history in business and stuff like that, so I knew what I was doing in some sense, but then you never, when you're all starting a company on something that's very, very different. So for us, for example, we made like little Scrabble pieces and products out of them. That's something that was very different from what I had to do. And working in the structure of normal business, so to speak, was very, very different for me.
And that's really interesting. I've done some research with young people who've took part in Young Enterprise and looking about what the key skills, and they talk about teamwork time and time again, but within the context of having to work with people that you don't know, intergenerational
relationships. The people that I was in the team with are some of my closest friends now that I didn't really, I knew of them, but I didn't know them so much before. Because for the company programme, you do it for a year long, so you do it for a whole period, so you're with these people every week for a year, and then you go on achievements and successes and also failures with them, and I think that really builds sort of strong friendships and relationships.
I think one of the key things for me when I presented the Tenor Challenge awards, and one of the things that came across very, very keenly when I did that was this sense of, actually, we're building a community of like young entrepreneurs, but who were actually what astonished me was their motivation for doing stuff was actually to do good.
Mm, yeah.
And the money was that came with it, mm. but actually it was to do good. And that kind of like turns the idea of business on its head. But business for good is actually something that does come out of young people.
Yeah.
And the skill set that I could see came out was communication,
mm-hmm.
understanding other people,
yeah.
you know, stepping out of your comfort zone,
yeah.
and also wanting to do good, which was really reassuring.
Yeah.
And there is a movement now that like business for good.
Yeah. yeah. And I think, I mean, in the research we've done for Tenor Challenge, 67% of the teams who they get to keep the profit after they've had the £10 for a month. And 67% of them give the money to a good cause, as you said, Lizzie. Mm. They want to do something. And I do also believe that it empowers them, because in this day and age at the moment, you know, that we're all working to understand, get through, you know, particularly young people with the context of where they're at, they don't feel they've got a lot of choices and they can't make things happen. But with this pot of money, and you know, the average profit is around about £100, so it's not a lot, but to them it's probably their first real sign of good work means money equals good, and they can choose. We really stress to them, it's your choice. You made that decision. You can keep the money, you can divide some of it and give it to good causes, or you can give it all to good causes. And, you know, over 67% of them give it away. Some of them give all their profits. But I also believe that each team needs to think that through, because A, obviously it's their money. B, as we all know, entrepreneurs aren't successful always, and they need to learn themselves. They've got to pay themselves some money. So I actually really take them through that to say, if you want to keep the money, that's okay too, because they need to understand that they've worked really hard, they've kept some money, because going into business, a lot of people don't think about paying themselves. So that's a good lesson as well.
I think also with that is that this whole idea of like you've got a startup, and if you've got a startup, you're just going to get investment, and if you get investment, then Absolutely. That money doesn't matter. Actually, is it 5 million SMEs in the UK, are I think they're 15 people and under, and the majority of SMEs are two or three people.
Yeah,
and all sole traders or one.
Absolutely,
you know, getting that idea that you are responsible for creating your money.
Yeah,
you are responsible for that generating it.
Absolutely.
This, otherwise, we get kind of like blinded by the idea that you just investment.
Yeah, someone will come along.
Someone else will pay for this.
And just going back to your thing about communication, the ability to tell a compelling story for your investment, to basically be able to talk to your community. Because one of the things I noticed about Tenor and Company is that when you talk to young people about their products, many of them are very proud to become stakeholders in that community. Absolutely. It allows them to say, well, actually, what we're doing here, and they talk about the story about how this particular product engages the community or how the community are going to benefit in a way that perhaps before Company or before Tenor, that vehicle wasn't around for them. So I think in some ways enterprise can be a way of bringing those generations together, both from a way of the mentor supporting young people, but the young people also engaging a mentor who won't probably know a number of the digital applications they're talking about.
Well, I think it's really interesting how you say about when you get an investment, you sell a story, because in my history, I have quite a story, and I've been offered a lot of money in the past for, come up with an idea and we'll give you money to do it. And that sort of mindset, because they get invested, people get invested in the story and want to hear more sort of about you as a person. And I think that sort of makes those skills a lot more important nowadays.
But you still have to understand how to put, you know, how to make money.
Yeah. Well, this is the fundamentals, isn't it? And you know, in for example, in Tenor as well, one of the competitions we ask them to do is to put together 60 seconds of why, if they were, it's a Dragon's Den type of competition. But I really think, again, you know, 60 seconds sounds a lot. It's not. It also gets them to look to camera. It gets them to think about themselves and what their story is. And if they're nervous, that's great, because actually it's all about learning. Because as Sharon said earlier, you know, when you're sitting in front of a panel of people for a job in the future, or even, you know, any situation in life. We all know, unfortunately, minds are made up really quickly.
Yeah.
And one of the things, when I first joined Young Enterprise and I went into a school, and one of the best things I saw was this guy in a business, mock business type situation. He came in, young guy, and, you know, the people that were pretending to be the investors stood up. They had suits on, so they made it a really real engagement in interview. And they tried to shake his hand. He had no idea what shaking a hand meant. He did not know, and he was 15. Now, the guys that I was with were very kind. They sat him down and they said, okay, this is, we're going to rehearse it, and you're going to do it again. And to me, I could see he maybe on the day found a lot of it out of his comfort zone. But to me, being taught how to shake a hand, look at someone in the eye, learning to say his Christian name and his surname are great lessons in life.
Mm.
And if you take that away, that is an introduction to something that he may not have been able to do before, because
it's the very basics of communication, of human communication. Yeah. And I think that's something that is very much undervalued, human connection around that.
I think it's important as well that you always remember that people are people, and it's sort of very interesting for that. Now, my first question for you two is, I want to hear how you guys think the world of the workplace has evolved since when you guys first started out. So we've heard about your guys' careers, and how you think it's different today, or how maybe it's not so different today.
I think technology has really driven a lot of changes. So you've now got, I think, probably about four generations that are in the workplace at one time. So you've got obviously baby boomers, the millennials, the X and the Generation Z all together. Now that can create for an organisation some challenges, because you've got a lot of different cultures there.
Mm-hmm.
But I absolutely also think there's a really good opportunity for a lot of mentoring to happen. So in terms of technological mentoring, for your people to be able to say, well, actually, this is how certain things work, as well as experiential learning. The other thing I would say, particularly where we work now, 60% of our organisation of Young Enterprise are actually work-based, working from home.
Mm-hmm.
So the importance of remote working, the importance of trust with your employer, the importance of being able to agree a task, but also collaborate on that task through technology is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that, because we know that home working is going to be pushing more and more, and also being kind of like self-employed, I think, and particularly in the creative industries, I think there's going to be more people self-employed in the creative industry by 2021, than there will be, you know, in the public sector.
Mm.
How do we get those kinds of skills to develop in the human skills in the, as we call it, the fourth industrial age?
Yeah,
how do we get those skills?
How are you able to get those sort of social skills and stuff like that if you work from home?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, that those people don't feel isolated. That's the key thing. There's been a great report by Oliver Wyman called Delivering the Workforce of the Future. And basically, there's three things they're saying in terms of the human skills needed. Dynamism, so that's about adaptivity, curiosity, commercial acumen. In the world where technology is really changing, that basically the transactional tasks will be done by technology. But the differentiator for competitors will be those human skills. Mm-hmm. Customer service excellence. We all know now our expectations of customer service now is really, really high. You pick the phone up and you want someone to solve your problem quickly. You want somebody to listen to you. You want somebody who's able to say, I understand. So personal accountability and the ability to problem solve is really, really key. And thirdly, that relationship building and that influencing skills over the phone or whether that's communicating online is really key as well, because you might not be in the same room as that person, but you really need to get them to understand that you understand what that problem is and you're there to help them. So for us, the importance with Young Enterprise is being able to embed those skills with young people, to develop those skills through a variety of different programs. Whether you work from home or you're based in an office, those skills are becoming more and more important.
Just so we get kind of like an idea of your reach of Young Enterprise, how many young people are you working with on a yearly basis, would you say?
So across the UK last year was around about 320,000 young people.
That's
so
incredible.
So we work in England and Wales, but we work very closely with our sister charity in Young Enterprise Northern Ireland, Young Enterprise Scotland and Young Enterprise Gibraltar. But we're actually part of a junior achievement movement, which is worldwide. It's 105, over 105 countries.
So this isn't trivial, what you're doing.
No, it's a real movement.
This is a real, real movement. So do you have any, looking back at the kind of like the things that you're trying to do and the way that you're doing it, and it appears quite effectively, how does this all fit within the education system? You know, where does the education system need to perhaps, dare I say, radically change? In order to suit what we're now moving into.
Yeah, I mean, it's changing. The careers focus was taken out of schools, unfortunately, and it's now recognised that that's actually got to be part of a whole education of young people. So we've seen in the last, probably in the last year, for example, this year, when I'm seeing the kind of teachers that are signing up to the challenge that we're running shortly in March, careers has crept into their job title. So schools are now taking that part of the education seriously. And they are being checked on it. They are being addressed on it. So for a long time, we saw that education was literally about academics and about achievement and about, you know, the end game, GCSE, A-level, onto university. And we are part of that change very much in Young Enterprise, where we believe that the whole education of a young person doesn't start and end with the subjects. It starts and ends with behaviour and understanding their skills within school. And for us, really, it's asking teachers not to take on more work, because we understand they're already hard pressed. What we're there to support the system by saying, if you trust us to come in and help you and support you, and we'll bring in some industry business people to, if you like, support what you're doing and give you a real value to what's happening to your students whilst they're in education. So the whole listic of a child starts at five, finishes school between 18, 19, is what we're about. And it's not, but we also, what we need to emphasise in Young Enterprise is that maths, English and key subjects are important, because they will help you to open the doors alongside your own skills. You can't do it without, you've got to walk together with them, and this is why.
One of the things that I'm a big advocate of is their STEM, but their STEAM.
Yes.
And what we're finding is that with the young people that we work with at Think Nation, we have creative means to tackle big questions.
Yes.
So big, you know, the impact of artificial intelligence on the workplace, or you know, the future of ABC. Creativity is core of all of this, and it strikes me that if we don't have creative, curious minds, we're going to struggle with the, because we're going to need creative, very, very creative solutions to the things that they're inheriting. Yeah. Where does creativity fit in all of this?
I mean, I think at the moment it's very difficult. Teachers are working really, really hard, and the focus is a knowledge-based curriculum. And I think the more that we can support those teachers to creatively apply learning opportunities, that experiential opportunity to, whether that be Young Enterprise or whether it be creative ways of solving problems, I think the key is that for us, our feedback from teachers is, don't give us something more to do, help us deliver what we're doing already. So whether that be that you mentioned before, the art of telling a story, well, you need to be able to persuasively tell a story in English literature or English language. It's being able to work with those teachers to say, here is an opportunity for you to apply this core curriculum within a different, and it might, what it actually might do is switch on a young person who might see absolutely no relevance of that subject to them, until someone says, but actually, if you can do this now, this means that you could go on to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. I think curiosity is something, we hear people talk about passion all the time, but passion, as anyone knows, if you're old enough to know, passion burns out.
Yeah.
Curiosity and that deep love of something is something that can be pulled out. So curiosity is something that I think we should be also exploring with young people. Be curious about things.
And I think I found really interesting from doing Young Enterprises, it's such a vastly different sort of thing from what you do in the classroom, but it's also very much still connect.
Yes.
And I learned so many skills that you don't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
Things like introduction to, you know, like taxes and things like that as well, that the curriculum just completely sort of lacks on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that all down where I live in East Sussex, they're one of the, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like they're an enterprise county, so they get special enterprise funding.
An enterprise hub,
they're an enterprise hub. And I do lots of work with them, and they have to follow
Gatsby.
And I think it's so interesting that their solution, which I completely agree with, is to try and get young people to have as much exposure to people from the workplace as possible.
Yeah.
Can I just, what's Gatsby for those people who don't know what Gatsby is?
So the Gatsby benchmarks is essentially 8 benchmarks where, which is a criteria for schools to work to develop their good career. It's what good careers education looks like. So there are 8 different criteria of which the schools will then work towards reaching. I think it's all by 2020.
Mm-hmm. So that's not long then.
But including, as you've quite rightly mentioned, there is the opportunity to engage with employers, have personal guidance, have increased careers awareness. So there's this, all schools are now working towards the Gatsby benchmarks. One of the things I was going to really mention was the importance of self-efficacy, because it might not be that you can know the answers to those problems, but sometimes these experiences, like Young Enterprise, like, you know, there's many other organisations out there that are working very closely with young people, that's that self-belief of knowing I can actually find a way around this. And I think if you can then go back into the school curriculum to say, I might not know it now, but it might just help me push through that little bit of a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I've been very fortunate in the sense that I started my first company when I was 13. So when I was going through Young Enterprise, I'd already been through starting my own company. But seeing other people in my group, even some of them haven't gone into business. I know, like, one of my friends has gone into teaching, for example. It's taught them, though, so many of those, like, skills that you just don't pick up in the classroom.
No.
And I know it's like a commitment on top, but it's almost, I almost enjoy doing the Young Enterprise more than doing the lesson. And I think nowadays we have such a, GCSEs and stuff like that are so knowledge driven, which I think there's going to be a shift in that now because of how quickly we can get information anyway. So why would I need to learn it if I can, you know, rather learn how to get it? I think that's what it's more going to move into. And I think it's very, very interesting to see what's going on in the classrooms of today.
Yeah, interestingly, last week I got an email from a young girl who'd moved to Thailand. And she emailed me via the Tenor Challenge saying, I'm going to university, but one certificate I don't have is my Tenor Challenge certificate from last year. And she said, I have talked about what I did and so many people are interested that I think I need this certificate as part of my portfolio of what I've achieved at school. And that's what I think when young people actually have been through something like a program where they've actually learned themselves about things, they're very keen to tell other people about it. And I often get teachers saying to me, it's the one certificate some of my students actually aren't going to achieve all their GCSEs. They're not always going to reach where they want to be academically. However, this certificate is really important to them because they can talk about something that puts them apart from other people. So, you know, there is a, you know, and from that's driven by the young people themselves.
But you're helping surface talent, and that's something that's really, really important, because if we are just siloing young people and saying, you know, you come from this background, therefore we already know that you're not going to do very well at this, therefore you're not going to go on and do this. We create their own self-fulfilling prophecies.
Absolutely.
By putting them into those categories. Mm. Whereas if you say, do you know what? You know, I didn't do brilliantly at my GCSEs. I certainly didn't do very well at my A-levels. And I did dreadfully at university. And I left university thinking I couldn't get onto any graduate scheme. I couldn't do anything like that. But I became something that I believed myself that I could do it. Mm. Now, if you can kind of like tap into that, a young person, and say, it doesn't matter whether you know, GCSEs, okay, matter. I'm not saying they don't matter. However, if we just have that as the one barometer of whether you're successful or not at such a young age, I think that that is a travesty for, I mean, hundreds of thousands of a generation are already going to be saying, you're not good enough.
Mm.
Whereas if you've got something, go, this is what I've achieved. It's a bit like having your badge, you know, Girl Guides or Scouts or something. Yes. I've done that.
It's almost, in some ways at the moment, I think the education system is maybe imbalanced in the way that, you know, that GCSEs and that sort of thing are important, but there are other elements that are important too that need to be appreciated, and also in some ways going into the workplace need to be judged and almost quantified in some way to determine that.
It's interesting, if you see some of the greatest leaders in business or in, well, you know, organisations, they've usually, a lot of them who are self-starters, who've created them, they've usually failed many, many times.
Mm.
You know, they've not done very well at school, they've not done this, but there's something in them.
Mm.
And I think that that is something in everyone. And I think that what you're doing is helping surface that and help identify it.
One of the key things that we work really hard, the business volunteers that work really hard in supporting the young people, is to really flatten or neutralise the experience of failure. Because failure's got such a toxic emotion attached to it, when really it's the reality of the whole plan, do and review. You're only ever going to become excellent at things if you feed back and you learn from what you could do differently next time. And that's how life works. That's how self-efficacy works. You believe that it doesn't matter what spot I find myself in now, I will find a way through it. So that's key, that flattening of failure that you talk about there.
It's actually how the world, it is how the world works.
Yeah.
It is how it works. So where we put this pressure on that you've got one chance and that's it, and then if you don't, you're out. It's quite, I think that pressure on young people is quite apparent at the moment.
They're always eager to push maths and English as a core thing, but sometimes at the cost of other things. And I think that's sometimes quite a dangerous thing to do, because if you don't fail maths, if you now have to keep doing maths and English until you turn 18, and I think it's very clear maybe when you're 16 if maths and English is going to be your thing, or if you're just redoing it for the sake of redoing it.
That's a really good point, actually. Unless someone sits down with you and says, well, let's try a different way of learning, because if you still, you know, if you're still doing the same thing, you're not going to expect any changes.
Cycle.
Absolutely.
Well, it's the definition of maths, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I mean, they, even when you go to college, they remove support from you more than give it to you in maths and English. And I've been very fortunate that I haven't had any problems in that area. But I know people that have, that you go to college and then you're almost left out there, and it's like, what's the point? And just keep redoing it. It's like you're chucking things when you could be going on and doing other things, or using those, you know, 2 days a week extra that you have to go into college to go and be doing something else.
I mean, we work really closely with teachers as part of Young Enterprise is Young Money, which is really focused on financial education. So that part of the organisation works really closely with teachers to support them in terms of training around financial education. So it is basically maths within a financial education context, so that really young people are learning about finances and maths, because so it has some relevancy when you're going into the world of work about your payroll, taxes, national insurance.
The only way I've ever learned how to do all that is through through research, and luckily I've been in a way that I have a fantastic accountant as well that helps me deal with all the taxes and all that.
I failed my maths GCSE. I had to take it again, and I just about scraped it. I think I got a D or something. I mean, that was enough for me, because did fail it. But now, because of the experience, because I've always worked for myself pretty much, so I've had to learn to do it. And now I'm really comfortable around numbers. And it's not because my relationship with numbers is different. So my relationship with maths,
you can
is
see the value.
Good. It's valuable. It's not.
But what changed that?
What changed it was the fact that I could see that I could apply it to real world. Yeah. That's what changed.
See, that's the thing.
That's what we...
That's what switches the...
Yeah.
It's the relevancy to me, isn't it? It's the, what does it mean to me?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, you can't teach that. That's what we... Yeah, yeah. When we're in a classroom with people, you know, we're not expecting... We're not teachers, because that's not our job. Our job is to support, as Sharon said, we support the teachers, but what we're hopefully doing is making it real. And that is what the whole of us is making it a real experience.
And I'm interested to hear your views as well on how you think technology plays a part in that. Because what came to my head when we were talking about, say, accounting, for example, is now a lot of my accounting is all done with technology. But I go to university and study business, and they still teach accounting as if there isn't technology there that can assist with that. So I'm interested what sort of technology you guys maybe use at Young Enterprise or what...
We can talk a little bit about Marketplace. So Marketplace is a bespoke online sales platform, which we've worked with some Young Enterprise alumnus. Mm-hmm. So as you probably know anyway, if you're under 18, you can't be held accountable to a contract. So therefore, a contract with an under 18
is...
I've
had loads of problems with that.
So what we wanted to do was really support those young people to be able to have an online sales experience and learn what they need to learn. Because if they're setting up and starting their business, that's what you need to learn. So basically, we're taking them through that whole kind of IP, stock control, setting up their company, building their website, connecting with a payment platform. We work with Stripe. So essentially it's setting up your shop, but on an online platform.
And I think that's great, because nowadays so much sales is done online. But more importantly as well is for Amazon, for example, which you think when you're buying something, you're buying it from Amazon. Most of the time you're actually buying it from somebody else who's just going through Amazon. And maybe Amazon do deal with their distribution and stuff like that. But it's somebody else that's bought that stock and is then doing that. So I think it's kind of teaching you important online skills, because that's kind of where shopping's going in some ways as well.
And if you're living in a rural area, you want an experience of actually setting up and running an enterprise, then you could run this in your bedroom.
And that's how you grow fantastically.
But also what we have to give them is disciplined approach to it. So when they're at home and they can do eBay, because they'll look at you and go, well, I can do eBay. You know, I can do all the different aspects of selling, but this is real selling. So like anything we give, it's real. So those images you're giving us, are they yours? Are they actually yours? Do you own the copyright to that image? Do you own all the intellectual properties around your products? Because if you don't, you need to make sure that they're your pictures. You've taken them. So it's all those. So young people suddenly go, oh, okay. And that logo you're using, is it yours? Have you borrowed it? Have you seen it from someone else? You know, because some of these big guys have lawyers watching for this type of stuff to be uploaded, and they'll come down on you like a ton of bricks. So for a young person, and they'll look at us and go, yeah, but there's so many rules. No, this is the real world. We're helping you get established in that world, and we're giving you an excellent vehicle to sell. And if you then go on and do this for real, you're all those pitfalls, all those falling over bits that you did in a safe environment, you can do for real, and you can walk through them. And the other thing is, when you're selling to a complete stranger, how are you packaging it? Is it coming on time? What's your refund policy? You know, if you run out of stock, where you're going to, you know, and it's all that real world thing that suddenly, because if you start off saying to someone and they say, oh yeah, I'd love to run my own business. Yeah, there's just quite a lot involved. And actually, until they've done it themselves, and this is what we give them. And, you know, it's not high risk. Of course, there is money, but hopefully it's low risk and they're in a protected environment. They've always got a business advisor helping them. The school want them to be successful. We want them to be successful. So they do
Introduces them to a very important
So that's what we've done, really, is the belief and the commitment to young people is that strong. They are actually, for the purposes of of the legal side, they are young enterprise companies. We stand over those companies. Yeah. So that if you as a customer have an issue, then essentially they're young enterprise companies. But the other thing to say as well, when we were researching how to support young people on this platform, we were looking at GDPR, so data protection. So how will we help young people understand data protection? There's nothing out there for young people.
No.
Nothing out there. Well, we certainly couldn't find anything. So we had to work to really draft out and work with our lawyers to find how you could do that.
So you're really, I mean, what you're doing is actually quite seismic for young people who are looking to, you know, create an enterprise life for themselves or a business life, which is pretty much going to be a lot of them.
Yeah.
These are seismic things. So thinking about that, how are you adapting to the, you know, the impact of the changing work environment with AI and things like that?
I think it's about the partnerships that we're creating. We're working a lot more collaboratively with other organisations. It's being really clear about what you bring to the table. So we work close with a number of partnerships now. So Apps for Good, Future First, Founders for Schools. They're all organisations. Careers and Enterprise Company are up. Well, they're a you know, significant funder of organisations that are supporting young people to gain experience around the world of careers. But essentially, it's about knowing where you can add value to experiences. So, for instance, with Founders for Schools, we work really closely with them in terms of the tenor. Because what we want to do is provide young people, regardless of where they are, so it could be in Carlisle or Truro or Hull, but we want to access them the same opportunity for a founder to come in and talk about their business, how they started their business, so that they have the same spark of inspiration as if you lived in Manchester, Liverpool or Birmingham or London.
Some of the bigger places,
So it's about really, so for us it's about accessibility, it's about really challenging ourselves around accessibility all the time to be able to say, how could you make this better for someone living in a rural area as much as a city area?
Looking at young enterprise, what are you going to be doing in the next couple of years? How are you going to be moving forward?
So I think for us, young enterprise, the marketplace is a big learning piece. We're just about to begin work on our 2019-22 strategy, which will really involve how we are engaging young people. Because one of the key things that we really I work with young people and talk to young people a lot, and I think in terms of the differences in generations, I think in terms of their tolerance for difference, their ability to embrace diversity and to really not be afraid of challenging when people and calling out people when that's when the stuff going on. I think that, you know, as an organisation we're keen to involve young people in the development of our programmes more, as well as working with those partners, those great tech organisations, that they bring the expertise. What we do is bring the vehicle. We're working really closely with the schools who are working incredibly hard to get that curriculum delivered. It is about collaboration. It's about not being precious and leaving your ego at home, essentially. Yeah,
that's an interesting one. That's an important one. So what are you excited about for young people in the next coming years? Right now we've got a climate that's quite challenging, I think, for young people. What they're inheriting in many, many
different
ways.
Particularly because we have an environment that I think we didn't necessarily have any impact on whatsoever.
I would say as well, actually using the word environment but in a different context, I would say what I've been really encouraged about is the sustainability. I think young people are really keen on just thinking about the ethics of business. So where you've had, you know, some of them have come through following influencers and people on YouTube, and they've begun, suddenly the lights come on and they thought, okay, these guys, they're pushing certain things, they're being paid to. And I've gone out, super mug me, went out and bought it, and I've got a daughter who's done this, you know. And they suddenly go, oh my God, they got paid for that. And they're light bulb moment. So what I really get is that young people now are calling out, saying, okay, we want to be more ethical in our approach. So the sustainability element is a difficult one because obviously we're not geared up totally ready for that. But again, it's empowerment. It's saying to young people, okay, look at the product itself, has it got a slave trade policy if you're getting it from an imported place? Has it got, if you're looking at the way it's been made, is there an environmental impact on it? You know, have they, you know, what have you thought about your packaging? What's your key messages? Because, again, they can make a small change, but that change has ripples. And, you know, what I've also, that they know is that sometimes then you might have to pay a little bit more for that product. Now, isn't that a great opportunity for a young person to sit in, or stand in front of a customer and say, this is why? Because, you know, they've got they will pay the minimum wage, and therefore we would prefer to buy from them because they've got this policy than a cheaper import. And that's really refreshing, and I'm seeing that coming through. And even though the challenge only lasts 4 weeks in Tenor, that's happening. And people want, the recycling aspect is still very important to them as well, and that comes across in their ideas. But in a real term, 4 weeks isn't a long time to produce a product. So, but there's little ways that they can do, that they can look at to actually bring value to the product.
That's hugely encouraging.
Yeah,
because so many more established companies did that. Things have changed quite rapidly.
But I think established companies are getting quite good and slowly moving towards that because the consumer behaviour is starting to shift. Yeah. And in a not too long distance future, young people will have a lot of the buying power, and I think that's when we'll start to see the big ones drop.
Just two things, really, for looking at the head to the future, really, is the alumni. So we're building our alumni network to see what is the long-term difference. So in terms of early careers, mid-careers, but also people like yourself going back and saying, well, actually, this is the difference it made to me. This is how I've applied it. So it provides some kind of inspiration for other young people. But also going back to those teachers who are, yet again, you know, would make no apologies for saying that they work incredibly hard and supporting them more, I think, really looking at this maths within a financial education context and just looking at whether it actually, this work that we're doing to support teachers, the training, does make a difference to GCSEs. Because if it does, then actually the more we can do that,
there's more evidence for it to be continued.
Yeah.
So where can people find out more about what Young Enterprise is about? Where are you online, on social?
Young Enterprise is our main website. Twitter, we've got Young Enterprise. Sharon and myself are on Twitter. I'm on at 10 5 YE. And Sharon, yours is?
Sharon Lewis, 1971.
The two challenges I run, the first one's tenor.org.uk. That's for 11 to 19-year-olds. And the second one is Fiverr, and that's fiverrchallenge.org.uk. And that's for 5 to 11-year-olds. The Tenor one takes place in March. Fiverr one takes place in June.
And so, a brand new website that brings young money and young enterprise together.
And is that still under the same web?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Alison. Thank you, Sharon. All of the information about Young Enterprise in the links below, around, or somewhere where you can read in support of this podcast. Brandon, thank you very much.
Lizzie, thank you very much.
That was ZX Spectrum, and we'll see you next time.